It's Jim, it's the World of Bonds. It's Thursday, the 14th of March, 2024. This is for professional investors only and never ever investment advice. Why is the last mile the hardest mile? Is of course a lyric from Is It Really So Strange by The Smiths. And of course that was the B-side of Sheila Take a Bow, together with one of my favourite Smiths tracks, Sweet and Tender Hooligan. It's also the story of the US inflation picture at the moment. The last mile is the hardest mile. This week's CPI data for February proved a little bit disappointing, although not by anything as much as the kind of surprise in January with that hot number. But what we have is a world where the year-on-year measures of headline and core inflation have collapsed. On the headline measure, it's collapsed down from 9% to around 3% in the middle of last year. But from then on, we've had a kind of stability around that 3% year-on-year level. Actually, February's year-on-year came in even slightly above 3 at 3.2%, and that was a tenth higher than was expected. Core CPI, 3.8%, disappointed by a similar degree, a tenth higher. So we've got down to 3, and then we've hovered there or slightly above it. And with the kind of month-on-month numbers for inflation coming in at 0.4% month on month, that's above the kind of 0.2 or 0.3 month on month that you need to hit your 2% inflation rate target effectively. There was some good news in the data. I think particularly you'd look at food prices, which are now flat, having been, you know, something that's obviously worried consumers a lot, grocery basket stuff. Egg prices having risen from $1.50 to got up to nearly $5 for a dozen at one point, but now, although we're not in deflation, we've at least stabilised there. And there was a bit of a reversal in January's medical cost inflation, but the things that went up were, again, those frequent purchases within the inflation basket, particularly gasoline prices, which is really a bellwether for the American consumer and their sentiment about inflation. So gasoline prices were up nearly 4% in the month. And then the other big component, and it's around about a quarter, it's over a quarter of CPI, owner's equivalent rent, which was up 0.4%. And that's basically a linkage into house prices, or a kind of theoretical amount that someone who owned a house would have to pay to rent it. It's a pretty obscure thing that we've talked about a lot in the past. I'm not sure how accurate it is, or whether it deserves a significance in the inflation basket. Other central banks, well, other statistical agencies take very different approaches to how you measure housing within the consumer prices basket. But OER it is, and that's still pretty hot. Now, the February inflation data haven't dramatically changed the course of expected Fed cuts, but there is a growing fear expectation that we're now in a world where the fight for central banks will always be to get CPI down from stickiness around the 3% down towards 2, rather than the fight in the post-GFC world to get inflation up from 1 to 2. So the kind of symmetry of where we are in the, around 2 has changed structurally, perhaps, from where we were. In the middle of January, the market expected rates of 4.5%-ish by June from the Fed. Now it's more like 5, 5.25 even. So a significant reassessment of where the Fed will be in the middle of 2024. We're not quite back to the September, October highs, and certainly longer dated bond yields are much lower than those highs, despite a bit of a setback in Jan, Feb. But in terms of rate cut expectations, we have given back a lot of the movement we saw in the last couple of months of 2024. We get more inflation news out of the United States today. We have PPI, the Producer Prices Index, and the journey for that has been even more extreme than that for consumer prices. We saw a peak of 12% year on year in 2022 for PPI, and a low of just 0.3% again in the middle of last year. We're now below 1%, but the market expects 1.2% today. In the UK, this week saw a likely escape from that Q3, Q4 2023 technical recession that the UK probably experienced, may get revised away. So January's monthly GDP estimate was 0.2%. And, you know, it's a healthy rebound from where we were in the last 6 months of last year. Retail sales really leading the way. They were pretty strong, as we've seen from some of the reports from retailers. Private healthcare spending also was higher in the month. And that reflects or kind of reinforces some of the anecdotes that we've been getting from insurance companies, that middle income is increasingly taking out private healthcare and insurance policies in light of the growth of the NHS waiting lists. Going to finish on credit. We've talked about new issue premia in the past. NIPs, they're a kind of market measure of, well, it's the extra yield you get or extra spread that you get for buying a new bond issued by corporate bond issuers, companies, relative to their existing bonds that are out there, their secondary market bonds. So companies are always having to come back to the market. And the kind of idea is that if they want to get a new bond away, they're going to have to pay an additional little premium to get people interested in buying something in the primary market rather than the secondary market. A discount really to the existing bonds. And so this incentive to take down supply, typically people talk about an NIP, a new issue premium of 5-15 basis points. At times it gets out to 30-35 basis points when there's a lot of supply or a weak market or somebody's desperate to get a deal done. And it depends, of course, on the name of the issuer or the size of the deal. But the strength of credit markets has left yesterday 60% of the deals that came yesterday, and this is a big issuance period we're going through, 60% of the deals came with negative new issue premia. So on average, new issue premia yesterday were minus 5 basis points. So the new deals were more expensive than the existing deals. You may say this is irrational. Why wouldn't you just simply buy a secondary market bond? Well, I guess it's the weight of money coming into the market is such that people want the certainty of getting a large block of bonds, and they're willing to pay up in order to be able to do that. So quite extraordinary. We're now in a world of negative new issue premiums. And this is despite a world where JP Morgan numbers this morning show that in European investment grade, we're running at new issuance or that's running compared to 2022, nearly two-thirds higher than it was a year ago. So we're getting not just loads and loads of new bonds being issued, but they're coming at very, very tight spreads and negative new issue premium. And that's telling you something about the hotness of the market. It's telling you something about the weight of money sitting on sidelines. We talked about the $8 trillion in the United States sitting in money market funds, expectations that yield that money market yields will come down, and people sort of reaching out in duration and into corporate bonds rather than risking being left in cash with falling bond yields. But still, it's pretty extraordinary. And the spreads now are looking very tight, with the differentials between investment grade and high yield looking really tight. Again, looking at JP Morgan charts this morning, difference between European triple B's and double B's is about 130 basis points, having been at 400 basis points in July last year. And you look at the proportion of time spreads have been tighter than this, it really looks like in the US in particular, we're trading at kind of not quite unprecedented levels of spreads in terms of tightness, but really quite extreme levels. So US investment grade have only been tighter than this around about 5% of the time since 2010. It's even less than that for US high yield, more like 3% of the time. There is some, you know, better news for European investment grade. So European investment grade has been tighter than this 45% of the time. And for sterling, pretty much of a wash. So We are in a world where spreads are incredibly tight. US looks more expensive than Europe, but demand is gangbusters. Have good days. Bye.